right, and welcome, Hoosier fans, to another off-season edition of the Assembly Call for the first time in a while. Not an emergency edition of the Assembly Call, as at least as of yet, as of me recording this, there is no breaking news to report and do a live show for. Except, well, there is this one bit of breaking news, which is that Tamar Bates, Indiana's recent commit, who'll be a freshman incoming this season, is all the way up to number 23 in the latest ESPN rankings. So this is a guy who is around like 100 and has now jumped all the way to 23, which is right at that kind of five-star, four-star cutoff. If you weren't excited enough yet about him coming to Bloomington, this is just even more reason, because his recruiting stock is, you know, on an upward trajectory about as much as anybody's. So this is a guy who's really kind of moving up. People think really highly of him. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes as a freshman. We'll see. You know, it's a freshman. You don't want to put too many expectations on him. But he's a guy that projects to do pretty well. And that makes the guest for this special edition episode of the Assembly Call very appropriate, because it is the guy who had a large hand in recruiting him to Indiana, as he has had a large hand in recruiting a lot of guys to Indiana recently and a lot of really good players at all the stops where he has been a coach. And that is Kenya Hunter. Really appreciate Kenya giving him 30 minutes of time earlier today. You know, 30 minutes of time is an interesting, it's kind of an interesting amount. You know, it's not quite enough to, like, you know, build rapport and really go into depth on stuff, but it's plenty to have a really good conversation. You know, I was prepping for it and putting all these questions together, and I realized I had about 3 hours worth of questions, so had to kind of pare them down. You know, but really tried to think about, you know, what some questions are that, you know, that you guys would want to ask him, you know, stuff that we've talked about on the show that I've seen in comment sections, that type of stuff, you know. And so wanted to ask him some of those questions, and he's great, you know, really insightful, you know, gave some insight on, you know, on last year's team and what went wrong with last year's team, you know, looking ahead to this year, the first year with Coach Woodson, you know, what, you know, makes Coach Woodson special as a coach that he's learned already, you know, why he thinks having a full summer is going to be so important for this team in particular. Of course, we talk about his tweet from the other day, which I labeled as the greatest tweet in IU basketball history. He couldn't, that was obviously about Tamar Bates. You know, if you didn't see it, it was his tweet where it was really simple. It was the eyes emoji, a fire, and then a winky face. And then it's got the 50 Cent GIF, where 50 Cent is like, he stopped at a stoplight and kind of looking out the driver's side window. And then all of a sudden he like drives off with this big smile on his face. And so obviously it was in reference to, you know, to Indiana landing Tamar Bates. Now, coaches can't talk about players until they're actually signed. So Tamar Bates and also Miller Kopp from Northwestern, those guys are both committed, but they're not signed. So he couldn't talk about those guys. I wasn't going to ask him about them, but I did ask him about the tweet. So we got kind of the behind the scenes on that tweet. Talked a little bit about his time at Northwestern, because obviously he worked there with Michael Lewis and also noted Indiana basketball fan Tim Miles, who has a great story. If you didn't hear it when we interviewed him over on Podcast on the Brink, Tim Miles has a great story about how he once tried to break into Assembly Hall. So we talked about that some. But, you know, a wide-ranging conversation, but hopefully it covers some of the topics that you guys want to hear from. But I just think it's great hearing from Kenya. You know, he is a guy who, you know, coached at UConn, coached at Nebraska, you know, coached at his alma mater, Duquesne, coached at Georgetown, was obviously, you know, built a reputation as a recruiter, but I think he sometimes gets a little bit miscast as just a recruiter. This is a guy, as we talk about, has been in charge of the defense at pretty much every stop he's had. Now, what his responsibilities will be, how that's going to shake out with the new staff, he doesn't know yet. We don't know yet. But he is a well-respected defensive coach. And so, you know, a lot has been talked about, hey, you know, Dane Fife's here to manage the defense while Coach Woodson does the offense. Let's slow down just a minute on that. You know, we've got two guys in Fife and Kenya Hunter who were excellent defensive players. You know, Fife is known as the all-time steals leader at IU. Kenya Hunter, you know, he played at Duquesne from 92 to 96, averaged more than two steals a game. That's a lot of steals. That shows you a guy who's playing hard on defense, who's active on defense, a smart defensive player. So, you know, I of all the things I've been impressed with over the offseason as I've kind of dug in and learned more, I think I'm as impressed with Kenya Hunter as anything. And I know that there's a lot of talk about Dane Fife being coach in waiting. You know, I don't think that title has ever been officially bestowed or anything. And Coach Woodson hasn't even coached a game yet. All I want to say about that is I would slow down just a little bit on just thinking Dane Fife is the only guy on the current staff who could make a great head coach and would be the obvious choice. I think Kenya Hunter is going to be an awesome head coach somewhere. Hopefully we're lucky enough to have him for as long as Mike Woodson is here to where that could be a conversation once Mike Woodson leaves. Because I think at some point, you know, if not soon, then some point in the future, he's going to be running his own program and doing a great job with it. You know, this is a guy who you listen to him talk and his philosophy, so much of it comes back to relationships. You know, the reason why Indiana got Xavier Johnson, this is a guy he recruited at Nebraska. You know, built a relationship with him, built a relationship with his father. You know, Xavier Johnson commits elsewhere. He's at Pittsburgh. You know, Kenya Hunter is at UConn, different places. But the relationship maintained. And so when Xavier Johnson was going to transfer, Kenya Hunter was able to have that trust immediately and bring a kid who has never even been to Bloomington to come here because they have that relationship. And so much about coaching is relationships. And so much about coaching moving forward, even more than it's been in the past, is going to be about relationships. Because as he talks about, you know, you're constantly recruiting your own team now with the new transfer portal rules. And culture is going to make such a big difference because you've got to create something players want to be a part of, or they're going to constantly be looking elsewhere, you know, trying to see if the grass is greener on the other side. And I think Kenya is a guy who really understands that just viscerally. It's just how he is. He's a relationship guy. And I think the people who are relationship guys at their heart are really going to succeed in the future of college basketball. So I'm ecstatic that he is back. He's such a great asset for the program. I think he's going to be such a huge part of what Mike Woodson is building. So I just really enjoyed the 30 minutes I got to speak with him. I think that you'll enjoy it too. So that is coming up here in just a minute. The only thing I want to tell you about before we do that, I sent an email out to our subscribers on Monday about our private discussion community, which you can learn more about at assemblycall.com/community. The reason I want to tell you about it right now on Wednesday, April 21st, depending on when you listen to this, is that we are getting ready to raise the price for the community. So right now it's $2.99 a month to join or $24.99 annually. Definitely hop on that annual price because it's like a 50% discount. I don't think I did the math quite right when I was setting it up. But hop on that because we're going to raise the price on Friday. It's going to go up to $5.99 a month or $49.99 a year. The reason why we're raising it is, you know, our costs of managing the community are going up. We're investing a lot more time in it to deliver a better experience there. And so we're going to raise the price to reflect that. The community is now 2 years old. It has over 1,000 members in it. So I think it's ready for that. You know, the reason why it's a paid community, obviously, number one, it is to offset some of those costs, you know, both of the software and just our time to run it. But even more important than that is we are committed to making that a place where it's knowledgeable, insightful, supportive conversation and discourse about the program. A place that any parent, any coach would go into and say, okay, I may disagree with analysis here or there, but these are fans that really care about the program and want the program to do well. That's the ethos of this community. And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then I want you to join it. And it's assemblycall.com/community. That's where you go to learn more and sign up. It's a quick process. You know, if you just don't want the annoyance and the toxicity that you get on social media and other places, I think this can kind of be an oasis that gets you out of some of that. And so, you know, we've got a lot of fun things going on there. Steve Green and Brian Evans are going to be doing some AMAs, some Ask Me Anything events coming up. You know, Coach Tonsoni does his coaches' corners in there. And it's, you know, and I try to curate discussion with poll questions and different things. And I post some analysis there that I don't post anywhere else. I mean, it's just a fun place to talk about IU basketball, other IU sports, and to connect. You know, I feel like the most important part about a community is people connecting with each other. We do virtual happy hours. We get together. It's a real community. That's what we want it to be. And so if everything I just described sounds like something that you want to be a part of, go to assemblycall.com/community. Join us because the price is as good as it's going to be right now, and you'll lock that price in forever because then on Friday, April 23rd, we're going to raise it. So anyway, go check it out, assemblycall.com/community. I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, here now is my interview with Kenya Hunter. There you go. I got you.
How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. A little morning yoga with the team.
Ooh, very nice. Yoga.
Yeah. So,
very nice. You guys must be feeling good. Do you get out there and do it with them?
I did this morning. It's the first time. So, it was a small group at 9 o'clock and then a bigger group at 10.
Yeah.
So Rob Finnessy and Chill and Coach Yashir was in the first group. We went early.
Nice. Yeah. Man, I'm a few years removed. I had a pretty serious yoga regimen going on back before my daughter was born.
This was
a good like 6-7 years ago, and you know, back when I was single and had all the time in the world, and but man, I felt great. You know, I need to get back to it.
You know what? It relaxes the mind. You know, and it does. I used to do it when I was actually at UConn. I did it a lot. I did the hot yoga.
Yeah.
So I got into hot yoga, and I would go at least twice a week. And I actually was the best I felt. But then, you know, you get busy in the season, and this was like before the season gets started. And
yeah,
you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, it does. It gets hard, man. It does. I just thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
We've been doing our show now for about 10 years. We do a post game show, and then we do a show every Thursday night. You know, and things have really grown, but my one kind of regret about it is I live in Dallas, Texas. And so, you know, I don't really get the chance to, you know, to kind of see the coaches face to face, see the players face to face. And it's kind of one of those things. I feel like when you're analyzing somebody, it's good to be able to talk to them face to face and kind of have that accountability. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
No problem. I'm glad I can be on, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let me start out with this. How does it feel to have sent the greatest tweet in IU basketball history? I know you can't talk about the particulars of what inspired it, but just the tweet itself was awesome.
you know what? It's crazy that you say that. And I honestly, you know, I was surprised that you know, things happened the way it did. And I'm thinking late at night to myself, I was like, I got it. And I normally don't tweet at all. So, I thought it was due time for it. And, you know, it just popped in my mind. And then actually who helped me was, Brian Walsh.
Did he?
with the finishing touches on it. So I got the gift, and he put the finishing touches on it. And I didn't know it was going to explode like it did. My phone kept going off. I was like, what in the world is going on?
I mean, it was brilliant because the best tweets are like that, where they don't specifically say what they're about, but it's like, because of the timing, everybody kind of knows. And it's just, okay, here we go. Here we go. I think the reaction to that tweet though does kind of speak to the enthusiasm around the program right now. Are you able to get a sense of that? I mean, being in Bloomington, obviously there aren't games, you're not interacting with fans, but are you getting a sense of how enthusiastic people are?
Yeah, a little bit, and just with the response of, you know, what we've done in the last couple of weeks, and you know, it starts with the head coach Woodson, man. He's done a heck of a job as far as setting the tone. Especially in the recruiting, when we get on with Zoom calls with recruits, he's doing an unbelievable job of, you know, just telling them how we're going to play and what's it going to be about, you know, here at Indiana program. And a guy that's, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, who's gone through it, you know, it speaks volumes, because, you know, he's kind of like laying the pathway because he's done it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's been killing it, man. He's been killing it.
Yeah. No, all you guys have. And I know, you know, I'm certainly excited that you're still a part of it. You know, when the announcement was made that Scott Dolson was going in a new direction, you know, my first thought in those situations is always, I always think about the assistant coaches, because my dad was an assistant football coach at IU in the 80s. And so I kind of grew up on that side of it, you know, and kind of seeing how the wins and losses and the job changes affect the families, you know, and knowing that you had just moved your family here. How much of a relief just is it for you and your wife and your kids to, you know, to have been able to stay on and not have to, you know, kind of move again after you just moved?
Uproot myself again.
Yeah.
It is very exciting, man. I can't even explain just how excited I am just to be able to stay here. I've always thought that, you know, this place had a lot of potential, you know, from being in the Big Ten before and coming here. And seeing how electric the crowd is. So I really didn't get a chance to experience that. And so, you know, when Scott Dolson, you know, asked me to stay on with the transition team, and then continued to stay in contact with me. I felt pretty confident that, you know, they wanted me to be here and be a part of the program still. So that was a great feeling. And, you know, obviously, when they hired Coach Woodson, it was just like I told, you know, previous people that I've talked to, it was like, you know, the conversations we had for 2 days were unreal. And I'm elated that he afforded me the opportunity to stay here.
Yeah. Now, when you were at Nebraska, was Michael mm-hmm. Lewis at Nebraska then too?
Yeah, he actually, we worked together for 1 year. And okay. then I ended up going to UConn the following year. So
okay. And that was obviously yeah. under Tim Miles.
Yes. Yes.
Who, and so I got a chance to interview Tim Miles for a podcast a couple years ago, and I had no mm-hmm. idea about the love he has for Indiana basketball.
Oh, man.
I don't know if did you guys ever get a chance to talk about, like, he's got this story about how he tried to break into Assembly Hall one time. So I'm curious if you guys talked about that, or if those guys gave you any advice for what it was going to be like being at IU.
Yeah, no, well, Miles, that story is crazy. He kept pulling on the doors until one of them he was able to pop open. Yeah. So only Tim Miles, man. I love that guy. He actually, he's a good coach, and I'm glad he's back up in San Jose State. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll get that program turned around. But yeah, it's unbelievable. Seminole, I can't wait. You know, hopefully this season we'll have fans and see how electric the crowd can get.
Yeah. Have you, you know, that was one of the things I was thinking about as I was preparing for this. Have you thought about what that moment is going to be like when you get to, for that first game of Coach Woodson's tenure at Assembly Hall? Because obviously you guys didn't get it last year, and it is.
No.
I mean, it is going to be, with the enthusiasm of the fans, it's going to be nuts. Have you thought about that and what that's going to be like?
I haven't. I'm trying to wait. You know, it's far for the season right now. But I can only imagine just thinking about it. I just know there's going to be a lot of excitement surrounding the program. And, you know, hopefully we do our part and take care of home. That's one of the things that, you know, Coach Woodson has already told the guys, is like, we got to take care of our home. You know, their goal is to go undefeated at home. You got the crowd, and sure, we're ready to go every time we take the court here.
Absolutely. So, look, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time looking back, but there is one mm-hmm. question that I have that you're kind of uniquely positioned to answer, because you were obviously here last year. You're here now. Mm-hmm. You know, at Coach Woodson's press conference, when Scott Dolson introduced him, you know, he said that he had a conversation with some of the current players about, you know, what they were looking for in a new coach or a new leadership. Mm-hmm. And they kind of mm-hmm. listed three things, you know, more relationships, more development, and kind of a more wide open offense. And I think, you know, number three was kind of obvious with some of the offensive struggles, you know, that the team had last year. But I was really curious about one and two, you know, the relationship and the development part. What was your reaction, I guess, when you heard that? And what do you think might have led the players to say that those are the things that they were looking for?
Well, in a program, obviously, the players want to get better. And I think from year to year, under Arch's tenure, you know, you've seen improvement with some players. A guy like Ahmad, who struggled the first year, going into his second year, was able to average 14, 15 points a game and become that, you know, second leading scorer. Race Thompson as well, you know, his development. So the development is, you know, in the system, you know what I'm saying? And obviously those guys, you know, the system that Coach Miller had, you know, the guys, it wasn't more wide open, what Coach Woodson is talking about, but it was a system that the guys, you know, continue to try to get better and develop it. And, you know, our biggest issue was, you know, let's call a spade, it was the shooting, you know, and guys being able to make shots. And, you know, it takes time, man. I don't know, you know, I can tell you this, I know from August until, you know, March, we worked on shooting. We spent a lot of time on shooting. It's just, you know, some guys, you know, in games, it's a little different. The pressures are higher, but it wasn't the normal college season as well. I mean, empty gyms, and you have to bring your own energy with the team. And it was difficult circumstances for this year. But I think, you know, with Coach Woodson, the style of play that he's trying to implement, I think it's going to be one that the guys are excited about, because we are going to push it in transition. We want to play faster. But also, you know, play, it's not going to be fast where you're just going up the court and jacking up shots. It's, you know, who can give paint, who can spread it out, and getting guys, you know, confident in making a three-point shot. Because if you can draw two and get two on you, our guy's going to be open where he can shoot a toe to the line, step in three, and hopefully be better at making those, you know. And I think by, you know, Trace being back as well, surrounding him, you know, with guys that can, you know, make plays not only for themselves, but help him get easier baskets, you know, that's going to be, you know, interesting to see. We'll probably move Trace around a lot, you know, this season. So I'm excited about it. But and then the other part of it is that, you know, it wasn't a normal summer last year. Like this summer, this is the time when we work on the individual game. So when you get to, you know, September again, guys in the team setting, they're better, you know what I'm saying, with the shooting, the ball handling, decision making. So right. They lost the summer because of, you know, just COVID and the circumstances we had last year. So hopefully it'll be better, you know, with an older group.
Yeah.
That was a long-winded question. Answer right there.
It was a long-winded question too. So no, it was a great answer. You know, you mentioned the shooting. And, you know, obviously that's something that we all hope improves. And I think in an ideal program, you recruit good shooters and you develop them to be even better. But right. If you had to pick one of those that's more important, do you think one is more important than the other? And if so, which one would it be?
I would say get better shooters.
Get better shooters.
Yeah. But I also think, you know, percentage-wise, like I said, you know, you look at, you know, I use Armand just because, you know, his percentages really went up from his freshman year to his sophomore year from the 3-point field goal percentage. So, you know, a year older, more confident, you know, in making those shots and, you know, just being more confident. I think Rob Fennessy is a better shooter than what he displayed this past season. And I think, you know, with a new environment surrounding, I think he'll make some shots. He had a couple games where, you know, early on he was able to make threes. And I can remember, you know, the tournament we played in Asheville, you know, he made two huge threes down the stretch against Stanford, you know. So, you know, just getting more and more confident and, you know, and getting more repetition, like getting more reps up. And when you put the time and the work in, you're going to have bad shooting games. Hopefully, you know, you're able to break out of it here and there, you know, so.
You know, Rob's an interesting one. He's one of the most interesting shooters I've seen at Indiana. What I mean by that is, like, it seems like when the pressure is the highest and the shot is the biggest, you have confidence he's going to make it because he's done it so many times through his career, but then he struggles at other times. Mm-hmm. What do you think accounts for that?
You know, just like I said, I don't think it was a normal season this past year. Yeah. And, you know, just having confidence in yourself. I mean, it was a pressure season. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, getting to the tournament was a huge thing. And I thought it was a lot of expectation surrounding that. Yeah. And, you know, when it gets to those last couple of games and you're not performing well, everyone, the pressure gets to everyone, you know. And so, you know, I just think that, you know, if they were able to go to the tournament the year before COVID happened, you know, they know the expectation of getting there and what it takes. And they wasn't afforded that opportunity. And so now the pressure is even higher. So, I just think that, you know, in those situations, sometimes, you know, it's pressure for everyone and we wasn't able to come through. But I think now, you know, feeling fresh with a new voice just, you know, Coach Woodson the way he is and trying to instill confidence in these guys, you know, I think. With Rob, I mean, he like I said, he worked, you know, on his shot and getting his reps up, and I think he'll continue to do that. But hopefully, you know, coming into this senior year, he's a guy that we can rely on to make big plays and make shots.
You know, you mentioned that pressure. Is the majority of that pressure internal, just, you know, the team and the player's own desire to do well and get to the tournament? Or how much of that pressure is external from fans and from people who host podcasts and stuff? Like, how much does that affect it as well?
I think it's both, you know, to be quite honest. I don't know which one's more, but I think for the kids, the fans, you know, the social media, what you read, you know, that can be damaging to your confidence. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know how to process it and you know, you try to tell these kids, man, to stay off social media. I can imagine, you know, playing in this day and age, you know, when we played bad back in the day, you had to get up the next day and read it in a newspaper. But it's, you know, it's instant, you know, feedback as far as your game and the way fans and everyone from the outside critiques you. And, you know, again, if you're not built to process that, you know, that can lead for you having, you know, down times. And you just got to be confident in your work that you've put in and don't listen to the outside noise. And, you know, I think it's up to us coaches as well to instill that confidence in our guys. And so, I think, you know, a year older, going through it, I think guys will respond a little bit better this year.
You know, and the thing with the noise and the social media stuff, I mean, the cat's kind of out of the bag with that. It's not going to go away. The conversation will be there. If you had the ability to just kind of talk to fans who are on there and they want the team to do well, what advice would you give them for, like, what are ways to actually be supportive and helpful of the program with the stuff that you put online as opposed to maybe being a detriment?
No, just we're with you, you know, through ups and downs. We're with you. We support you. But that's, you know, if they had good Twitter and bad Twitter, man, you know, that's what they really need, you know. But I would only look at the good Twitter side. I wouldn't look at the bad Twitter, you know. But, you know, just, you know, like at the end, you know, when they struggle, we struggle making free throws, you know, it was, you know, let's call it what it is. I mean, our guys struggled down the stretch. It wasn't like we didn't practice, you know, shooting free throws and pressure shots and things like that. But, you know, just understanding sometimes you know, it's, you know, just like when you're making shots, you know, when you're missing shots, that can be contagious as well. And it was one of those things where we started missing free throws and it really hurt us. But we have to be better. Those are pressure moments that we have to rise to the occasion and deliver. You know, that's what, you know, we all get paid for. That's what these guys have worked their behinds off to be at that point and have those moments. And you got to be able to deliver. So, I know it was devastating for us last year, but I think those guys, you know, with their work and, you know, what they've gone through, hopefully, you know, they can be confident and be better.
Artificial intelligence can be highly susceptible to bias. The potential for serious consequences is huge, especially when it comes to the AI increasingly used in police departments. We'll hear from a man wrongfully arrested due to facial recognition technology. A lawyer researching how dirty data has corrupted predictive policing algorithms, and a researcher who says de-biasing AI isn't enough. AI Nation, listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. The Mega Millions jackpot is over 250 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player 5.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. The Mega Millions jackpot is over 250 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player 5.
I was listening to the interview that you did with Hoosier Hysterics recently. I think you did it last year. My apologies for not giving you the 6-minute intro that Eric gave you.
Eric is, oh my goodness, he's something special, man. I can't wait to meet him in person.
He is something special. hopefully he's shaved by the time you meet him.
No.
But you know, but you said something interesting there. Well, you said a lot of interesting things in that interview, but one of them that stood out to me was that, you know, at a lot of your previous stops, you've been in charge of the defense. You know, that's kind of been what you've done. You've done a lot of work with defense. Do you know, you know, with Coach Woodson and kind of with this new group of coaches, what your responsibilities will be, how that'll be divvied up, if there'll be kind of one assistant with defense, one in offense? Have you guys had those conversations yet?
We haven't, but I tell you what, man, I'm excited about our staff, you know, what Coach Woodson has put together, you know, having Dame Fife, Yashir Roseman, who I've known, I've seen him from afar, but I know his work and his worth. And then having Thad Mata here, who I've known for a very long time, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we kept some continuity with Ben Sanders and Brian Walsh, and those guys have really have been unbelievable with the transition for everyone on the staff. And so, I'm excited about, you know, just the opportunity. But to answer your question, we haven't gone into strategies of who's doing what. But, you know, Coach Woodson already said that, you know, when we talk to our guys, it's like he's saying it as well. You know, he wants us to be, you know, extension of him. And, you know, he's going to allow us to coach. And, you know, that's all you can ask for is have a, you know, impact and have a voice on in the program.
Yeah. You know, you laid it out. I mean, the staff on paper is unbelievable. I mean, the credentials of everybody that's there. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, when you get a team with a bunch of new players, you know, you talk a lot about how important it's going to be for them to gel and how much time it'll take for them to gel. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of one of my questions now with the staff, is it is great with everything you guys have done. What is the process going to be like for building the relationships and the trust that you guys will need, you know, to kind of be able to work together? And how quickly can you do something like that when you guys haven't, you know, kind of been through the fires together yet?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of experience and understanding that everyone has their role. And, you know, just because you have an opinion on something that's, you know, you can't take it an offense if it's not used. Like, I think we've all been a part of winning programs and understand that, and being responsible enough to make sure that everything is working in order. And at the end of the day, we're trying to do the best thing to put Coach Woodson in the best situation where he doesn't have to worry too much about, you know, just the coach, you know, to be quite honest. And that's what assistants are for. And, you know, and building that chemistry with our players as well. We have a lot of guys that, you know, again, getting on a court and building sweat equity with the guys, helps build that relationship and confidence in our staff. And, you know, that's what we've done over the last couple of weeks of getting in the gym with our guys and, you know, with our staff, just everyone understanding that, you know, it's a responsibility to make sure that we're leading this program in the right direction and being better. You know, it's not about us. It's about Indiana, you know, at the end of the day, and we have to be better.
Mm-hmm. Both you and Dane have talked about, you know, the importance of recruiting to the head coach, you know, making sure that you're recruiting players that are going to be a good fit for him. What is that process like of learning how a player is going to fit with the head coach? And how long do you think that process takes to feel comfortable with it?
Well, knowing Coach Woodson in a short period of time, I know defense is important. And I think the guys that we've recruited up to this point, they have that mentality. And, you know, I think they're going to bring value in those areas. And the other thing is, you know, having a voice. Like, the more we can get the players, when it's a player-led team instead of coaches-led, that's when you have an opportunity to be a good team, you know, and them using their voice and patrolling each other to be accountable, you know, to maintain what we're trying to get out of, you know, just to work out and staying positive with one another. But that's, you know, we want our guys to patrol themselves and be a player-led team instead of a coaches-led team. And that's when you got a chance to be special. you know? Yeah. So it starts with us though, and making sure the attention to detail about little things are important. And, you know, that's what we're going to, you know, try to enforce.
Speaking of Coach Woodson, one of the things people talked about when he was hired is like, man, that guy played in the '70s. You know, no one remembers Coach Woodson's playing days. You know, mm-hmm. current players, which is true. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably don't know who Mike Woodson is off the top of their head, but he's got an incredible story with his time at Indiana, the injury, coming back, winning Big Ten MVP, only playing 6 games. When he tells that story, how much will that resonate with guys that are being recruited to Indiana or guys that are playing at Indiana? Because he has been there before. Is that going to matter?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, his blood, sweat, and tears are here. You know, he knows what it's about. You know, some of the things that he, as far as he's trying to implement here, is the stuff he's learned when Bob Knight was coaching him. So, you know, I believe me, I think that the guys are going to understand he knows ball, you know what I'm saying? Like he, you know, coached at the highest level. Most of these guys, the respect level right there, you know, because he's coached in the NBA where most of these guys want to get to. So there's a level of respect automatically from the get, you know. But I just think that his knowledge, and once guys continue to get comfortable with, you know, the system that he's instilling, like, they're gonna give him that respect, because they're gonna know that, you know, he's a no BS guy, you know, especially on the defensive end, and offensively playing together, you know, that's what he wants. So I think they'll respect him. Yeah. And if we have to, we get the old film out.
That's right.
Because Woody said he could shoot it back in the day, man.
Yeah. He sure could. Yeah. He sure could. Kenny, I know we only have a few minutes left, and I want to be respectful of your time. So I want to end on a couple questions. I could talk IU basketball with you all day. But want to end with a couple questions. You know, one, you know, obviously, you know, you're known as a guy who's been a really successful recruiter. And I'm curious how recruiting has changed in the time that you've been doing it over the past, you know, 18 to 20 years that you've been recruiting high school players. How's it changed?
Just because of the transfer portal. I mean, like, you know, guys want instant gratification, you know, and, you know, sometimes you got to go through things to get to where you really want to get to, the end goal, you know, and they've made it easier for players now that, you know, if it's not working one way, I just leave. And that's not always good, you know? Yeah. So just, you know, I'm big on relationships. I've said that from day one in recruiting, and I think that's important. And I'll stay true to that. If you build a good enough relationship with the families and the kids, they trust in you. And through the hard times and the difficult times that they go through, they'll stick with you. And I think that's the constant communication level that you have to have in order to build that relationship. And so, yes, it's changed, but I'm not going to change what's important in my values of recruiting good kids, that are respectful, but, you know, at the same time, you know, have that mentality. Where, you know, it's not always going to be, you know, a good time at the situation that you're in, and, you know, just being there for them and seeing them grow. That's the biggest thing, you know, from year to year, you want to see growth in the individual players. So that's what I'm big on. And yes, it's changed because of the transfer portal, and you got to recruit your own more than recruiting other recruits, you know, just to make sure that there's understanding and, you know, where they fit in. That's where recruiting, I think, has changed. I'm not going to get in case program.
Yeah. All right. Well, last question for you, Kenya. I want to go back to something that you talked about earlier with the importance of the summer, you know, and how the guys didn't have a normal summer last year. And I'm sure all the guys are going to benefit from it. But is there any player, a couple players in particular, you think are really going to benefit this year from having a normal summer and might be in line to take the biggest leaps?
You know what? Because we're having so many new guys come in, I think all of them. I mean, our timeline is to get all the guys in, hopefully by June 7th. They get a couple weeks off in May. But, you know, once they get back in June, That's when it's really going to start. We're building the chemistry and camaraderie of the team. And we're going to have a good 8 weeks to do that. And so that's the time where, you know, we'll see some growth in some guys, just getting them back. But, you know, those, the freshmen that we had last year and having them back, you know, they'll be, you know, they'll work and get better. And, you know, hopefully one or two of those guys can, you know, see themselves moving in the right direction and getting, gaining a lot of confidence from having a total summer with lifting and conditioning and, you know, skill development, you know. So I can't point to any particular player, but I think having all our guys here in June is going to help the process.
Even better, all of them. That's yeah, what we want to hear anyway.
Yeah, all of them.
Kenya, I really appreciate the time today. Great to talk with you. Yeah. And good luck with it.
Dallas, man. You got to get you out of Dallas, man.
Believe me. I moved here, though, you know, married a girl, had a kid, and now, you know, kind of hey, stuck here for a little while, but I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I understand. Boy or girl, what do you have?
I have a 4-year-old girl, and then we just had a boy, so we have a month-old boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep it right there. Keep it right there. Don't get outnumbered. I tell people all the time, I have two as well. I'm not getting outnumbered. I'm done. So, yes. Yeah, no.
No, we're done. We prefer man-to-man. No zone defenses here.
No zone defenses. No, exactly right. So keep it there. No, but it was good. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kenya. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Take care. All right. The great Kenya Hunter, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, really appreciate him taking the time to talk with us. You know, it's one of those, you get the opportunity to talk with a guy like Kenya, and you know, you start kind of preparing and writing down questions, and you realize, oh boy, I've got enough questions for a 3-hour interview, but we only have 30 minutes. But 30 really good minutes. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to have him on again in the future. A lot of good insight there from Kenya. And I, you know, like I said, I'm so impressed. And he, you know, outlined, you know, with the staff, just the credentials that this staff has and all the basketball that they've seen together. You know, as long as they, you know, build the relationships together and get on the same page, it's hard to have anything but a ton of confidence in what they can do, you know, in large part because they're already demonstrating it with the guys that they've brought back who put their name in the transfer portal, the recruits that they've already gotten. He obviously could not talk about Tamar Bates and Miller Kopp, so I didn't want to ask him about those guys because those guys are committed, but they are not you know, officially signed yet, so he can't talk about them. And he's talked at length about Xavier Johnson, so I didn't want to use the time that we had, you know, to kind of spend more time talking about him. But he has really high hopes for Xavier Johnson, you know, talked about that at his media availability. So anyway, great stuff there from Kenya. Really appreciate him taking the time. Really looking forward to seeing what he and the staff can do with this team, because as this offseason goes on, I think I speak for everybody listening to this, that there's a lot of enthusiasm, and we needed this shot in the arm because things did not feel good at the end of last season. And boy, I think he's going to be that moment when he and the team and Coach Woodson walk out for the first game. Who knows who it's going to be? It might be against Mississippi Valley State or somebody. Heck, the first exhibition game. I just have a feeling there's going to be so much enthusiasm, because you could feel it the last couple of years. There was so much pent-up enthusiasm for the team, for the program, and I just feel, you know, it needed some hope to latch onto. And now there's hope, and there's even some off-season results to latch onto that I think when the team actually takes the floor, that combined with the fact that no one could go to games last year and there'll be that enthusiasm, I think Assembly Hall is just going to be unbelievable. So, you know, for a guy like Kenya who hasn't gotten a chance to experience that yet as an IU coach, I'm really excited for what that'll be like for him. So thank you for listening to this edition of the Assembly Call. We will talk to you guys Thursday night, tomorrow night. Ryan will be here. He'll be doing his scouting reports. Obviously, we haven't done scouting reports on Xavier Johnson, Tamar Bates, or Miller Kopp yet, because Ryan hasn't been around the last couple of weeks, but we're going to start those on Thursday. I don't know if he's going to do all of them in one episode or we'll space them out. I think he's going to start with Tamar Bates, but we'll just have to see. But we will be doing those, and here on our regular schedule, Thursday night shows, and as news breaks, you know, we'll try to go live. I can't imagine what other news there could be now that the roster is filled, but we'll be here for you. So Have yourself a good Wednesday, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow night on AC Radio. And as we always say, keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough. So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. The Mega Millions jackpot is over 250 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player 5. Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough. So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. The Mega Millions jackpot is over 250 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player 5.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.